Night. It's great to be in the presence of the Lord. It's great to be at Dryden Road. It's great to be among friends. Hallelujah. It's great to be somewhere where we can go to Frisch's after church tonight. Hallelujah. You know, there are some things when you move away from this area that you just really realize you didn't appreciate till you lost it. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm thankful for everything that's been done in this service already, the testimonies. It's so good to be among you tonight. I mean that. I feel so humble right now to be among you, among this great congregation. And appreciate this church, of course, Brother Benny, Sister Janie, and their tremendous leadership here at this church through the years. And I'd feel a little better about this if he was here right now, just to be honest with you. But I tell you what, I appreciate Brother Gary and Brother Andrew and these good men sitting here behind me. I was thinking about it today. I've been pastor now for almost, in March will be 5 years. My first Labor Day, Brother Andrew and Sister Tiffany came out to our Labor Day meeting and preached in youth service for us and just did just a tremendous job. People in my church asked me then, when are you going to get in for a revival? I mean, just did a tremendous job. And then, what was it, two years ago, Brother Isaac and Sister Candace come out and preached for us. And I put him up in a youth service at Fairland, and he stood up and preached like a man. I'm telling you, just impressed people out there and did a wonderful job. And then Brother Todd came. And he's a superstar out in our area. He really is. And Brother Todd Hatcher has made a great name for himself and been a great representation of this church as he's traveled for the Bible school. And so I just wanted to tell you as a church, these young men that's grown up here and is preaching the gospel. Number one, I can tell they've paid close attention to their teacher. They've been keeping good notes. But number two, they've got a dedication and a consecration and a burden. And I tell you what, they've represented you well. And so I commend you. Of course, Brother Davey, it goes without saying, Brother Davey and Sister Kelly and Sister Odie are just some of the finest people you'll ever meet in your life. And we certainly appreciate their friendship through the years. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess if you ain't going to shout, we'll just go ahead and preach, all right? If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn to the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. I believe the last time I was here, I told you about Brother Jeff and Sister Shannon Sales that had gotten saved and she'd delivered from prescription drug addiction and things like that. He's preaching right now at my church in a little prayer service we have on Sunday nights. And been saved for 2 years, doing really good. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I wish I was there right now. Hallelujah. I'd sure like to back him right now. Daniel chapter number 3. I'd sure like to see the Lord bring somebody out tonight. I don't know what needs you brought to the house of the Lord. I don't know how fierce the struggle you may be in and the trial and trouble that you're going through. You may even be here tonight and not saved and bound by all kinds of sin and wickedness of this world. But I'm here to tell you right now, no matter what the preacher preaches, there is somebody in this house that'd like to bring you out. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 16. Very familiar passage of scripture. The Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Drop down to verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. If the Lord would help me for a few minutes tonight, I'd like to try to preach on faith greater than fire. Faith greater than fire. As I pondered tonight what the lessons that the Holy Ghost would have us learn from the text that I've read to you, there's two questions that come into focus. Number one, what really is the proper definition of faith? And two, what kind of pressure were these young men really facing? First, I'd like to try to define faith for just a moment if I could. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says this about faith. It's a strong belief or trust in someone or something. It's strong religious feelings or beliefs. Now, when I read that, it seems like a pretty generic definition of what faith really is. But when I search through the Word of God, I find a very biblical, and I feel like the best biblical definition for faith in what we call the Hall of Faith, if you will. There in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Notice that. It is the substance of things hoped for. Those things that you're hoping for, but you cannot feel them as of yet. You do not hold them in your possession of yet. Faith is the substance that will cause you to feel it before you have it. Then he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hey man, I cannot see it yet, but faith is the evidence that it's coming my way. Oh, hallelujah. I haven't got the answer yet, but faith says it's on the way. Hallelujah. Amen. So faith. Now, how many realizes tonight that doubt is the opposite of faith? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We battle with that devil of doubt all the time, don't we? Amen. That's what Brother Todd was talking to us about a while ago. Amen. That's what Sister Odie was testifying against a while ago, is the fact there's times when life does deal with us. Amen. Things out of our control that overwhelm us. But thank God for the times that he works for us. Hallelujah. Amen. And it removes the doubt that God is really in control of everything that's going on. Spurgeon said this. He said, every other crime touches God's territory, but unbelief aims a blow at his divinity, impeaches his veracity, denies his goodness, blasphemes his attributes, and maligns his character. Therefore, God of all things hates first and chiefly unbelief wherever he finds it. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, I'd like to have a little more faith, wouldn't you? I feel like that father that was there with Jesus and his son there in that need. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. One man said it like this, little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. I want to ask you tonight, could you use a little heaven right now? When you look at your circumstances and the needs you're going through, could you use a little faith or a little heaven right now? Could you use a little bit of God's touch and a little bit of God's help right now? Well, why don't we get our mind on Him for just a moment and recognize who He is and recognize what power He holds and recognize what He came to do, what He has done, amen, what He's going to do. And I tell you what'll happen, faith. Faith will rise up in your heart and you'll recognize that you don't have to wait to get to heaven to find that healing. You can find healing right now. Oh, help me, sweet Lord, tonight. Amen. Let's take a look at this pressure these young men were under. For the Bible tells us that these were young men. Amen. Some suppose that they were no more than 15 to 17 years old. That makes this even greater of a miracle. Oh, hallelujah. But they were captives in a foreign land. They were in a society that completely opposed the values that they had grown up with. Parents are nowhere around. Preachers nowhere around. Amen. But now they've already experienced the pressure of Babylon. But now the fire has been kindled. And they find themselves staring at a graven image that the king said, either bow or burn. Amen. Pardon the crude expression, but they were in a pressure cooker, if you will. Amen. Amen. These were young men that found themselves under pressure. I want to ask this church tonight, young and old, do you feel the pressure of this hour? I said, do you feel the pressure of this hour? I'm telling you, when I look at the world that my kids are growing up in, it's a fearful thing. I said, it is a fearful thing. Amen. A week or so ago in the attacks in Paris, the news reports that come out of that situation, I've seen some photographs and things that come out of the carnage of that attack. And I'm telling you, when I saw it, amen, I felt the fear and the terror of that moment grip my heart. I was there with my wife. I said, sweetheart, I said, this is a terrible thing. It's a fearful thing. I feel that terror. Amen. Right now, talking as I saw that, I grabbed her by the hand. I said, we need to pray that God has mercy on us. Because it could be just as easily Dayton, Ohio as it is Paris, France. Hey, I've not been in this area much. We don't have this a lot in our area, but I walked through the malls of this town, amen, the last couple days, and I was shocked to see, amen, women who looked like was adhering to Sharia law right here in Dayton, Ohio. And I'm telling you, with that kind of spirit on the loose in this hour, amen. You never know when that spirit of false religion, amen, will rise up and cause people to do things that we never dreamed would happen in our society. That's just part of the pressure that we're feeling in this hour. But not just that pressure out in society. Let's bring it on closer to home. Hey man, when you look at your children and you look at what they're going through, when you look and you see the problems in their marriages and you see the financial situations that they encounter and you look at all that's going on around us, does anybody feel the pressure of the hour? These young men were under pressure. But I want you to notice that the Lord will help me for a few minutes tonight. And see, I want you to look at what came out of this situation. What comes radiating from their life when they find themselves in pressure. Number one, we see the devotion of faith. The devotion of faith. Look again, if you will, with me at verse number 17. The words of these three men. They say, our God whom we serve. Oh, hallelujah. Our God whom we serve. Amen. This was not just a God that they had spoken allegiance to. This was not just a God that they had casually gave a heed to in a casual way. This was a God that they served. Amen. They were servants of the Most High. And that service is found, amen, in their devotion. It was a consecrated love that they had for their Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's obvious that they are devoted to the Lord. Amen. Because when you look at this back, look back with me, if you will, just a few chapters. Amen. Look back at the incident with them and Daniel and the king's meat, where they purposed in their heart they would not defy themselves with the king's meat. And now we see them here in this situation with Nebuchadnezzar. It becomes quite clear that these young men are devoted with a consecrated love to God. They are His servants and not the servants of any other. Amen. They have completely given their devotion over to the Lord. And can I preach to us tonight? Amen. There was nothing in their hearts. There was nothing in their hearts for Babylon. Babylon had no influence over them. I said Babylon had no influence over them because there was nothing in their heart that loved Babylon. Amen. They were still in love with Messiah. They were still in love with the sovereign Lord over Israel. They were still in love with the one who'd called their people out of Egypt. Amen. They were still in love with the one that had worked wonders in their nation. Amen. They were still in love with the Lord, and they were not in love with Babylon. And I want to preach to us tonight. Amen. When we have no love for the world in our heart, amen, it will hold no influence over us. But when your devotion is divided, when your heart is divided, and you have affections for this world, that's when the world begins to have a pull and an influence over you. That's why we tell you, young people, amen, fall in love with all of your heart. Amen. Don't just do this because your daddy says you have to, your mama says you have to, your preacher says you have to. Amen. But form a devotion in your own heart. Amen. A love for God that surpasses every other affection of this world. Amen. The Bible says, set your affection on things above. Whew, come on now. We don't just... Hallelujah. Power. Amen. We don't just fall in love. How many's ever said that? I fell in love. Sounds like you tripped and fell into some sloppy mess. Yeah. We don't just fall in love. Love is a choice. You choose to love. When you fall into something, you're trapped. Now, come on now. Amen. But we're not to fall in love. We are to set our affection. We make the choice. Amen. To take our affection from the beggarly elements of this world and to set them up higher on something pure, on something heavenly. Hallelujah. And when our heart is consumed with a love for Him, amen, it will not be distracted by the things of this world. I said, when we really love Him like we ought to love Him, we're not going to be distracted by the things of this hour. Amen. We live in a world of wickedness. Amen. It is readily available on every hand. Amen. Brother Gary did a wonderful job in Sunday school talking to us about guarding our mind. Amen. We're confounded, surrounded rather, amen, with all kinds of wickedness. But how can you walk through this world without it having an influence and effect on your heart? Is you take your heart out of it and you put it in heaven. Hallelujah. And you love God with everything that's within you. Hallelujah. Not only do I see a consecrated love, but I see a committed life. Notice what they say. Our God whom we serve. The true character of their love is reflected by the conduct of their life. Let me say that again. The true character of their love is reflected by the conduct of their life. The proof is in the pudding. Come on now. I said the proof is in the pudding. Amen. You are, help me, sweet Lord, tonight to say this how I need to. Amen. You may be able to put up a facade. You may be able to walk in here and put on the mask and put up a facade and go through the motions. But there's one thing you cannot fake, and that is response, reaction. And when you find yourself in the heat of the moment, what you really are is what comes shining through. When the pressure's really on, if there's any crack in that character at all, when the pressure's really on, that's whenever, amen, that weakness will be exposed. Amen. But notice these men, they had a consecrated love, amen, and a committed life. Because in the middle of this pressure, amen, with nobody looking from home, with the whole country looking at them in Babylon, it would have been an easier time as any, amen, to give in to the pressure and say, you know, this really is no big deal. Amen. But they let Nebuchadnezzar know real fast. Amen. We may be forced into servanthood. Amen. In Babylon. But we are servants of someone greater than Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. You may be the most powerful man in this world, but our allegiance is to a king that sits on a throne higher than Babylon. Oh, hallelujah. And they said, it doesn't matter what you do to us. Amen. We're still going to serve God. We're still going to live for Him no matter what. I want to ask you tonight, is there anybody in this house that has committed themselves to serving God no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what pressure you find? I'm going to love God and live for Him no matter what in this hour. Well, I need to help somebody tonight if the Lord will help me. Not only do I see the devotion of faith, but look for a few minutes, if you will, at the dynamic of faith. Verse 17 says, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. First, if you will, look at faith. Faith is believing He can. Faith is believing in God's ability. Are you convinced tonight that God can do what He said He would do? I said, are we really convinced that God can do what He said He would do? I mean, is it a bedrock conviction of your experience that God has the power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think? Amen. Is our faith firmly grounded in the fact that God is able to do anything? Hallelujah. Is there anything too hard for God? Oh, come on now. Answer the question in your heart. Is there anything too hard for God? Oh, hallelujah. Assemble the jury. Call the witnesses. Let's look through the evidence of His word and see if there's ever been a time when He couldn't deliver His people. Was there ever a time when He couldn't provide for them? Was there ever a case that He could not heal? But when you walk through the pages of God's word, it doesn't matter if it's Egypt. It doesn't matter if it's the Red Sea. It doesn't matter if it's water in the wilderness or manna in the wilderness. It doesn't matter if it's the walls of Jericho. It doesn't matter if it's a fiery furnace. It doesn't matter if it's a lion's den. It doesn't matter if it's a Roman jail. Amen. Every time, I said, every time, anytime God's people needed Him, He was just what they needed when they needed it. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, God can do it. I said, God can do it. Put the biggest prayer item on your prayer list out before us tonight, and I'll be able to tell you, God can do it. Oh, hallelujah. I said, look at the greatest need in your life tonight, and I can say with assurance in this house, God can do it. There is nothing. I said, there is nothing beyond His ability. There is nothing out of His reach. There's nothing, amen, that He cannot and will not
handle for his people if we would but believe him and trust him and know that he will do what we ask him to do in faith believing. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Look at what he's already done. Oh, hallelujah. If looking ahead at what you need him to do is not enough to convince you, look back at what he's already done. Look how far he's already brought you. Look at the trials you've already come through. Look at the situations he's already proved himself faithful in. If he can do it then, why can't he do it now? If he was able to do it yesterday, why can't he do it for us right now? If he was able to do it for Grandma, why can't he do it for you? If he did it for Grandpa, why can't he do it right now? If he did it for the apostles, why can't he do it right now? I'm here to tell you God can. I said God can. And God's people need to get their faith a little higher. I said it's time that we get our faith up a little bit, my good brother, and realize God can do it.
Oh, but listen now. That the dynamic of faith is found not just in faith and believing he can, God's ability, but the dynamic of faith is found, amen, in believing that he will. That's faith in God's action. You come on now. I believe he can. Oh, but do you got the faith to say, I believe he will? I said, I believe he can, but do you have the faith to believe that he will? Well, if that preacher I got a lot of confidence in will just call me out and will yay yay over me, then I believe he will. Listen, you don't need a preacher. I said, you don't need a preacher to prophesy over you. I'm not against that. I love when the Lord works that way. Amen. But you don't need me to come down and say, I saw this or I saw that. Well, if we just had L.D. Moore back, amen, God rest his soul. I'm glad for the days and the memories that we have of Brother Moore. Amen. But you don't need another preacher to come and tell you, amen, what God can do and what he will do. You just need to take a look at this book again and see what his word says and realize that everything that we need, if we'll just ask in faith, believing, amen. He said it this way, amen. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to ask you, amen, do you have the faith to believe that he will do it?
But preacher, what about those times when I came and they prayed and I really believed he was going to happen? I really believed he would do it and he didn't do it. Hey man, does that just because sovereignty's will and your will didn't match up, does that make him any less able to do it tonight? Oh, come on now. Come on up here with me. Hey man, oh, listen now. What about those times when we have prayed and they still died? What about those times when I really did feel like I was believing God and they still busted up? Notice what these men said. The dynamic of faith was this. Our God whom we serve is able to do it and he will do it. Oh, hallelujah. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. Hey, amen. Oh, can I preach to you that he will do it? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You say, preacher, can you say that God showed you? I'm telling you, you've got to have the faith. You've got to pray through to the place where you can get up from that altar and say, God can. And I believe he will do it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You know why? You know why? Amen. We call for the elders of the church and anoint with oil. It's not just because we believe he can, but there's something in our heart that says he will. Oh, come on now. And the reason why we make that same prayer request over and over and over and over again is because we believe He can. Amen. But there's something down deep in there that says, I believe He will. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just trying to get somebody to understand tonight. Amen. He is a God that will do it. Amen. I said He is a God that will do it for His people. Amen. God can and God will. Amen. But how many knows that fear stands in opposition to that kind of faith? I've got to hurry here. But listen now. Faith and fear are in complete opposition to each other. Fear hates faith. And faith conquers fear. You listening to me now? Is the reason why that you will not stand up and say God will do it is because you're afraid that He won't do it? Oh, is the reason why you won't trust Him? And the reason why you won't take your hands off it? Boy, I tell you, when we really get into trouble, we love to try to figure it out, don't we, Brother Lonnie? We try with everything that's within us. We try our best to manipulate it and work it and fit it in to what we think ought to be and how it ought to be and what should be. And I mean, we work it. Oh, hallelujah. We'll pray. Oh, pray for me. Amen. But we're not trusting God one bit with it. We've never turned loose of it. Oh, come on now. I said, we've never turned loose of it. Amen. We still got a firm grip on it that says, hey man, I can't let go of this because I really am fearful that God won't do it the way I want Him to do it. I know it's getting a little quiet in here, but I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Hey man, we won't let go of it because we're afraid He won't do it like we want Him to do it. Lord, if You had been here, our brother would not have died. I'm telling you, I hear faith there, but I also hear disappointment there. You didn't do this the way we wanted You to do it, Lord. But how many knows His waiting was only to work a greater wonder in their lives? And we look at our situation and we say, Lord, if You'll just work it this way, boy, I'll praise You for it. I'll glorify Your name. I mean, You'll get the glory out of it. Amen. And I understand what You're saying. Amen. But He really knows. I said, He really knows how to work it to get the glory out of it. And I tell you what causes us to fear is the fact that our suffering may work, amen, greater glory for His cause than our healing. And we don't want to trust Him with that. Boy, are you listening to what I'm telling you? I said sometimes, oh, amen, our suffering brings greater glory and honor to Him than our healing would. And so, amen, instead of removing, amen, the thorn in the flesh, He says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to work for you. Amen. You just keep believing Me. I'm working for you in ways you don't even realize, for My grace is sufficient for you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just preaching to us tonight. Amen. Our God can and our God will. The devotion of faith, the dynamic of faith. But here, as I hurry to a close, is the determination of faith. For they said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, amen, the dynamic of faith, but the determination of faith. The faith that says, regardless of how this turns out, I believe You can and I believe You will. But if You don't, I just want everybody to know I'm still going to praise Him. Hallelujah. I'm still going to glorify His name.
I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to love him. Ain't nothing going to change between me and him. Amen. I'm not going to be disappointed in him. I'm not going to get bitter at him. I'm not going to turn my back on him. Amen. I know he can, and I believe he will. But even if he doesn't, I'm going to praise him all the way to the glory. I'm going to give him the glory every day of my life. Oh, because he is the one that's worthy of all of our praise tonight. I said he's worthy of every bit of our praise tonight. Amen. If you stop there, but if not, it looked like a little bit of doubt. But finish the statement. Our God, whom we serve, save, and deliver us, he will. But if not, we're not bowing. Hallelujah. I said we're not bowing. Notice their confident intentions. They said, we will not serve thy gods. Here's the determination of faith, my good brothers. It's a matter of the will. Our God, whom we serve, is able and he will. But if not, we will not. We will not serve thy gods. I don't know if I'm getting this across to you like I need to or not. Can I tell you that you won't cave to the pressure if God has your will? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. He wants to talk to you. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Hey man, you will not cave to this pressure. You will not cave to this fire furnace. You will not cave to the threat of your enemy if God has your will. Amen. Our will must come under submission and into subjection to the will of God. And regardless of the outcome, you must determine that I'm going to trust God and I'm going to love God and I'm going to live for God more and more every day of my life. Do you got that kind of faith tonight? I said, do you got that kind of faith that says I'm going to love him and live for him no matter what happens? I believe he can heal my cancer. I believe he will heal my cancer. But even if he doesn't, Brother Dave, I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to live for him. I believe he can save my job. And I believe he will save my job. But even if he doesn't, I'm still going to come in on Thursday night and I'm going to be joyful and happy because God's in control of everything. I believe he can save my marriage. And I believe he will save my marriage. But even if it don't work out like I think, I'm still going to hold on to God with everything that's within me. I believe he can save my lost spouse. And I believe he will save my lost spouse. But if they never walk through the door, I'm still going to love God and live for God every day of my life. Ooh, come on now. Hey man, are you determined tonight? I said, is that determination of faith in your heart that regardless of the outcome, I'm going to love him and live for him every day of my life? Hey man, that's where I really believe that these boys did not expect to go into the fire furnace. Brother David, that's just the way I read it and look at it. I really don't believe that they felt like they were going to go into the fire, but they had determined that they did. Amen. Even if we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Oh, come on now. I said, even if we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Amen. I'm going to keep on the firing line. Hallelujah. I said, I'm going to keep on the firing line. Amen. And notice if you will, not only their confident intentions, but notice the clear instructions that Nebuchadnezzar gives. Heat it up 7 times hotter. Ooh, this is the part that's hard to handle, Brother Andy. Because it looks like it's getting worse. It's getting a whole lot worse before it gets better. And I'm telling you, those times when we come back to that place of prayer and healing hasn't come and help hasn't come,
and victory hasn't come. And we declare again firmly our faith in God and say we will serve God. You rest assured the devil's going to do his best to make it get worse before it gets better. But even though it got worse, instead of better, they never bend or bowed. They just stood firm. They just stood solid. And they stood there sure that God was going to work for them. Are you standing for him tonight? How is your faith? We're right here at this critical juncture. Are we really going to believe him? Are we really going to trust him? How is your faith right now? Are you set and settled in the fact that even if he doesn't, you're still going to serve him? What happens if you go out of this service tonight feeling that faith built up in your heart and news comes tomorrow that it's worse instead of getting better? If your faith is firm and your trust is solid, it'll just cause you to love him more. And it'll just cause you to trust him more. And you'll run back to him and say, God, I'm still going to serve you. And so what happens? The king binds him up. He makes the command, throw him in. And they do it with such haste that the king's servants are slain by the fire. They don't even go in the fire, but the heat is so hot that the king's servants can't take it. And they throw them in. And to all that are watching and viewing, it looks as if, well, that's the end of the story. But how many know? Ew. That wasn't the end of the story. I said, how many knows that wasn't the end of the story? Because in just a little while, this old wicked king Nebuchadnezzar looks into that fire. Ew. And I love this. Hey, when he looks in, and what does he see? He sees men walking. I said, he sees men walking. He threw them in bound, but they're in the fire and they're walking. How is that possible? I said, how is that possible? Because the fire, oh, the only thing it had power over was the cords that had them bound. They had a faith that was greater than the fire. I said, they had a faith that was greater than the fire. I said, they had a faith that superseded the fire of the enemy. And I'm here to tell you right now, amen, what should have bound you, amen, in bitterness, and what should have bound you in grief and sorrow, and what should have bound you and burnt you, amen, with all of the grief and sorrow of sin in the world, amen, you're loose tonight. I said you're loose and you're still walking. Hey, we're not dead. Yes, we're in the fire. Yes, we're in the trouble. Yes, we're in the struggle. Yes, we're in the battle. Amen. But there's a faith inside of us that supersedes the fire of the enemy. And when we should have crumbled, and when we should have fallen, and when we should have been consumed, amen, his mercies and his compassions are new every morning. And we sit here tonight in the house of God, loose and free, because there's faith in the Son of God that's greater than our fire. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, you've been to the graveyard. Yes, you've had troubles and tragedies and all kinds of problems. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not bound, but you're loose, and you are because
faith that's greater than your fire. I said you're loose because there's a faith in your heart that's greater than your fire. Oh, I would that somebody praise him right now. I said I would that somebody would give God the glory in this house tonight.
Raise your hands and ask the Holy Ghost to have his way. He's wanting to speak to us here tonight. Somebody obey him right here in this house. Holy Ghost, have your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at me for just a moment here, saints of God. Look at me for just a moment here. I want you to notice what the king does here. He looks in and he sees men walking. But he doesn't just see men walking, but he sees four men loose and walking. Four men. And he looks at his counselors and says, how many did we throw in? How many did we throw in there? We threw in three, king. He said, I see four. What about that fourth one? I want to change that. What about that first one? Oh, come on now. What about that first one I see right there? He has the form of the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm telling you right now, this is what captured my imagination and my attention. I see where Nebuchadnezzar, he looks, he watches, and these men are walking in the fire. If they were walking in the fire, Brother Davy, why did they not walk out of the fire? It was not until the king went over and called them out that they exited that fire they were in. And I'll just tell you how I felt the Lord deal with me about that. The reason why they had to be called out of the fire was they found a presence in the fire greater than that which was on the outside of the fire. And even though they were in the fire, they would rather be there with Jesus than they would to be out there without him. Oh, hallelujah. I said they would rather be in there with Jesus than in the fire. You say in the fire? Yes. It would be better to be with him in the boat, amen, on a stormy sea of Galilee than it would to be on a sunny seashore somewhere without him anywhere around. I would rather be in the fire with him. Oh, come on now. Amen. Can I tell you, amen, the greatest times I've ever had with the Lord was those times in the hardest part battles, in the darkest nights, when I needed him the most, and he walked up right to where I was at, and I felt his nearness in the fire. John, I'm closing with this. Somebody get me a song ready. John was in the isle called Patmos. Verse number 10. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And John, the same John, the very same one that was known as the Beloved, the very same John who was in the inner circle of Jesus' disciples, the very same John that was found leaning on Jesus at the Last Supper, the very same John, amen, that Jesus, amen, told on the cross, behold your mother, amen, that same Jesus, or that same John rather, who was the very first one of the disciples, amen, to run to the tomb on Resurrection Sunday morning, that same John, who was in the pile of Patmos, amen, but was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind him a voice. Oh, hallelujah. I said he heard behind him a voice, and he turned to see who it was that spoke to him, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, his eyes were a flame of fire, his feet was like unto fine brass, and as if they'd been burned in a furnace, and as if they'd been burned in a furnace, hallelujah, and his voice is the sound of many waters, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Can I tell you, amen, that John got his greatest revelation of Jesus, not while he was walking on this earth, amen, but John got his greatest revelation of the Son of God when he was in Patmos in the Spirit, and he turned to see him. And I'm telling you, you may be in the greatest trial of your life, but get ready. I said, you may be in the greatest trial of your life, but get ready. If you'll put your faith and confidence in God, you're about to have a greater revelation of Him than you've ever had in your life before. Woo! Would you stand all over the house and give God praise in this house tonight? I'll stand and let's give Him praise and honor. Worship the name of Jesus in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Who'd like to come out tonight? Anybody got any faith greater than your fire right here? Anybody like a little more faith? Who is it that the Holy Ghost is wanting to help in this house tonight? Who stands in the greatest need of His help and His victory? These altars are here tonight. Hey, amen. Come on and let the Lord help you. That's it. Come on. Somebody else. Come on. How about it, church? Is there anybody that needs the Lord's help in this house? Let's have a good altar service. What do you say? Let's turn our hearts toward heaven and believe God to work miraculously for us in this house. Come on, come on. Seek the Lord in this place. Come on. Oh, come on. Worship the Lord and give Him praise and honor tonight. And let's believe the Lord to work in this place. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus.